You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 144. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week, we will check in to see who is in second place in the regional draft. We have an incoming spoiler from one of our field agents that should be here by the time we end the show. And there's something of a discussion going on right now on the boards. Perhaps we'll touch on that. But to start out, let's look at the board. Someone who is not one of us three has caught up with you. Did you see this?
I did. It's a dead tie.
Yeah. There was a late addition to one of the tournaments. Jared Hoffman had played Bajoran and did pretty well, got 14 points, which is good for me, and good for, it's not your nemesis, is it?
No.
Oh, no, okay. A different nemesis.
I guess.
That's, what does he go by here? Knob the Hobbit, is that right?
Yeah. Different Dan. A third Dan.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, Knob the Hobbit. 952 points, yeah. So you guys are both at that. And Charlie is at 952. I'm in second with 569. Brad has 330, and Charlie has 226. So we're still, we've got to be almost getting close to two-thirds of the way in, right?
Yeah, it's definitely more than halfway.
If you look back to the actual draft, Charlie made a couple of choices based on a set that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, there was and at the time we mentioned that. We were like, well, can we get a hint as to how much of the regional season that set is going to affect?
Turns out the answer is probably for Charlie is not enough.
There's only, looks like 10, 11.
Yeah.
11 events left in the season. Plus one if that Ruaprente one gets rescheduled.
We make the joke every week, but we really would like to see those events posted as soon as possible. And you know what? You know what my favorite thing about regional season is now?
What is that?
It's the Road to Worlds articles. Those are fantastic.
That is really interesting. I remember when they started, and I was like, this is weird. I don't know why I would be interested in this. But the more I read them, the more I get interested in following them. And
they're well written. I really like the previews for the next weekend with all the history that each location has. And the research that goes into the picks that they make, it's a very well done series, and it's a pleasure to read them.
Yeah, it's impressive the amount of work that they need to get the background on all that. I mean, sometimes they post things I don't even know about our group. Like, wow, yes. They're really digging in, and so it's got to be a lot of trouble to try to keep up with everything like that. So it's a big props to them for James Hoskins, I believe, is heads that up.
Yeah. It's too bad of the time difference. He'd be probably really good at the draft.
Yeah, it'd be great to have him on if the time, I don't know, maybe we can find a time where we can make an exception for our recording time, maybe do a weekend session.
Yeah.
and include him on one of the the world's draft or something.
That sounds like a good idea. I know World's Weekend is going to have a lot of events. Continentals this weekend will have a lot of events. Maybe we ought to do one for each. We'll see how it goes. In the meantime, I think there are several folks who are within striking distance of Knob the Hobbit for that set of regional foils that we'll be giving away. And good luck to everyone who's going to regional this weekend.
Indeed.
Looks like I see Christopher Tui, Vandross 4, Kronos, and Andoria will be having one. Not to mention the Tribbles and one of you guys, so good luck, folks.
Hooray, Tribbles.
All right, incoming transmission. This also says FPO on it. Do you have it?
Refreshing. I do.
That is a... Wow, when were there Cardassians on Tatooine?
I know what that's from, but that's hilarious. That is totally looks like there are Cardassians on Tatooine.
All right, well, it looks like they're coming down some wooden ladder in front of a couple of... Anakin's house there with the little, little white adobe, the arch doors, the windows in weird places.
Yeah. I believe that's the...
It's the Maquis.
The Maquis episode, yeah. Native American... Well, it looks like the third to last episode of TNG with Wesley and the Traveler. And
This is a four-cost dual dilemma. And once again, no collector's information. I suppose it's possible, but it's unlikely that this is card number one in the set. So this probably just hasn't been added yet.
Yeah, dilemma starting with O would be odd to beginning the set. And the O is Ominous Presence.
If you have five or more personnel who are the same species attempting this mission, this dilemma is cost -3. Randomly select a person with dip or security, then choose a different personnel of the same species. Those personnel are stopped. Okay. So, for four cost, worst case scenario... Wow. Okay. The worst case scenario is if you're playing DS9 and have eight people who are all different species, it would cost four and stop one, right?
Yeah, I don't see actually playing that on a player like that.
No, probably. Even I could probably track that kind of thing.
Yeah. You're unlikely to have a wide variety of matching species and to take the random chance of getting a diplomacy or a security personnel who did not have another member of the same species there.
So this is good against, Klingons, probably... Org.
Cardassians, Ferengi. There are a lot of affiliations this would still be good against.
Yeah. If I threw down seven at a mission, I would expect... Well, you'd have to have three different species. And even if you don't... Even if it's not cost-reduced, you're probably... Well, randomly select one with different security against those... It's those Klingons and Borg that'll definitely stop too. A diplomacy or security, and then I get to choose somebody to be stopped.
So you get to choose. So it's not as bad, I guess.
Do you think this is better than... Well, there's one reason I can think of right offhand, but do you think this is better than just a four-cost two-stop? I mean, you could throw down the Chandra and probably get more than two, right?
Sure, but I will obviously to start off with this as a skill.
Exactly, yeah.
So you're not going to get denatred or contaminated. It could be cheap, which is another potential bonus.
I'm trying to think of my away teams. The last couple decks I played. And I think this probably hit most of them. Cadets and it's a lot of humans.
Yeah, a lot of humans. But it's not a for sure hit. So it's not, it's super bad against them. I mean, there are Klingons have Riker and Picard and a couple of
I suppose you can get
mixed.
You could get very unlucky. And you throw this down, maybe I've got, enough of the same species to be cost -3, but the random selection of dip or security, if you nail one of my only Vulcan or something, and that's the only one you're going to get.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a gamble.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time putting four cost elements in my pile because I always draw them when you attempt with seven, and I can draw two or something like that. But that's because I probably don't play with enough dilemma point manipulation. Four is tough.
Yeah.
Four is always the toughest number.
Four is, you know, pitching in is almost a guarantee. You know, even if you have to pay it for full cost, you know, you definitely get two out of it almost always, unless you have a really limited skills spread. But in all likelihood, for most of your attempts, it's going to be cheap. This one, it really varies depending on the deck you're going to play, whether you're going to have a possibility of getting the discount.
Yeah. I was just looking to see if there's another Orion with diplomacy or security.
Another.
Not Orion. What
say,
is Shran?
Andorian. Andorian.
Yeah, yeah. What is Thawne?
Thawne's an Andorian.
Yeah, yeah. Does he have diplomacy or security?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He had like astronav transporters.
Yeah. Trying to think of a way that you could get the other Andorian randomly selected and then choose to stop Shran so you could take a dilemma back. I know you hate that guy.
Gotta hate that guy. That card needs to be random. If it was a random selection like Lita, it wouldn't be so bad.
Oh, if he was randomly selected?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that was the intention of the card. You know, it was not, you know, anytime I get to choose something to be stopped, I choose him and then bounce a dilemma back. That is not equally costed with the price of a personnel with that many skills.
Yeah, he's pretty good, and he'll only be better when you're trying to get as many different species as you can, right?
Yeah, exactly.
One more tool to throw in. I wonder if this set will encourage people to start throwing a lot more of the anti-non-aligned stuff, since people will be grabbing non-aligned, you know, random species non-aligned guys to get around some of these things.
That's an interesting idea. That would certainly be... What's the corn labor
weird
shortage?
Side effect.
Is that, yeah, that would be
an
odd side effect of trying to get a little more diversity into your
deck.
Is it
the seen and the unseen? You lose 5 points if more than half of you guys are non-aligned?
Yeah, that one always bugs me because it's, you know, as you were saying, four cost.
Yeah.
And I lose 5 points and you gain 5 points, but nothing else happens. You don't stop a personnel. No,
sure.
You know, you don't get to stop all your personnel. You don't get to stop any of your personnel. You don't, you know, there's no filter or anything, and it's four cost. And, you know, there are decks where losing 5 points, you know, if your deck is finely honed to do exactly these missions and not have any bonus points, that could be hosed. But, I mean, a lot of decks these days with, you know, the Phoenix and the causal recursion and, you know, things like that, a lot of decks are running with random bonus points, so you're already going 105, 110, 115, and losing 5 points is not really a big deal.
Yeah, you'd have to be a little bit more dedicated, I suppose, and go in with something like that and all your other things. So if they were running non-aligned, they'd be hit that much harder.
Yeah.
I think I've thrown in my decks a couple of times, but I don't know if it's ever gone off.
Yeah. I mean, unless you have something like a Horta or what is it, No Kill Eye?
Yeah.
To throw in after it so you know something else is going to stop them or outclassed or...
You know, my biggest problem is I end up not thinking too much, which, you know, is a problem in general, but I throw it on the first attempt when you have no points to lose.
Yeah.
And it's not like 1E where you can go down.
Yeah, that's always a bummer play. I do that with Stripped Down. Like, I'm like,
oh,
all right,
I'll
put in these three dilemmas, and then I'll throw a Strip Down in there because I have enough points, and then I'll get to move those two of those dilemmas somewhere else, and, oh, wait, you don't have a solved mission yet, so now I'm just giving you dilemmas under a different mission.
All right, well, Ominous Presence is the card. It's four-cost dual dilemma. Add that to your deck list or your respective card list. Like I said, it looks like a bunch of Romulans coming down this wooden ladder.
Cardassians.
Cardassians, wow. Staring into the sunset, or the dawn, one of the two.
Looking towards the future.
Yeah, looking toward the twin suns that are setting off in the distance.
My hair rippling in the wind.
No, Cardassian hair does not ripple.
Well, not the militaries, anyway.
No, no. Crazy Ducats, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. All right. So you posted something earlier this week about the time travel pod.
I did.
Was this in? This was as a result of an online game.
Well, it was the culmination of it was the result of an online game. It's not, you know, new news. But yes, my final inspiration to act on it was after an online game. We heard as far back as I recall, as last year's regional season, where, you know, time travel pod, which is the card in question, was really cropping up and taking opponents off guard and just completely destroying them, and worlds, it definitely made an impression. And then since then, it's been just all over the place. You know, if you look at decks, people talking about decks online, 1E, basically over the past year, you know, time travel pod here, time travel pod there. I mean, so much so that I've seen people, like, their entire communities that are built, you know, they have anti-time travel cards going in every deck, of which there are not really very many and not very effective.
I wonder why. I mean, granted, the game is faster now, but the game has been faster for quite a while.
But, you know,
it's just springing up now.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, these cards that are, you know, from way back, and, you know, I mean, if I told you, hey, my time travel pod just totally rocked somebody the other day, you know, before this past year, it would have been like, wait, what? That, you know, are you talking about a white border premier artifact? Why are you using that? But, you know, most of the white border cards, you know, before Shades of Grey and TNG are like, yeah, none of those are useful. I don't know why anybody's using those anymore. The game has evolved past those. But the game is come back around. I mean, like we were saying, back when you were starting the game, you know, 10, 15, 20 turns of play one, draw one.
Yeah, but that hasn't been true for a long time. I mean, call it the last 5 years, it's been you got to win on turn by turn seven, and five turns out of seven is still a lot. And yet, it's only been in the last year or two that we've seen it. Do you think it's because all the other good stuff is banned and this is the best thing left?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that question keeps propping up, and I don't really understand why it's terribly relevant.
But I don't know that it's,
like,
relevant.
I mean, it's like, I think it's because it's that. I mean, that's kind of what I was getting into with the background of it, is that it's been, you know, there is a stigma about these old cards that are not really useful anymore, which is why the 1E designers have gone back and made things like Shades of Grey, so that some of these are useful again. But, you know, some cards aren't useful until more cards come out and have a good interaction with them. Some cards aren't useful until the game comes back around to that. I mean, I get the feeling, you know, somebody in the chat room said today that, you know, well, you know, why should we change this card? Why is this, you know, one more card? Every time we change a card, then another card comes up. And I think that's it. That is the problem, and the point is that every time you fix a card that's a problem card, then people go, okay, well, that's tricks is out. Let me go back to the binders and start digging through. What weird trick can I pull out that nobody has seen in a long time or nobody has done before? You know, what combination of cards can I put together that is going to freak out my opponent or turn out to be really, you know, I hesitate to use the word broken because I know a lot of people hate that term. I think it's definitely a problem and definitely an NPE card. And this, I just think, is a card that has been a non-card for so long that people didn't think about it, and then somebody dug it out and introduced it into the current meta, and everybody went, whoa.
It's interesting that you say that there's not a lot of counters there. I mean, there are a good handful. I know I'm guilty of not playing with counters at all. I mean, we used to run, a couple of Kevins, a couple of Amandas back in the day, but it's been a long time since I've even put a Quinn in a deck. Now, half of that is because when you're playing Borg, you don't do that because there's bad probes. But on the other hand, if I make a regular deck, I just don't end up with a lot of counters. I mean, do you play with counter cards like Kevin and Amanda and Quinn?
Yeah, I used to run even in my, I've gone over and over about how I don't like bad probes in my Dabo mirror deck.
Yeah.
But even then, I had at least two Quins. I think I only didn't run three because I didn't have a third one
Yeah.
in all my decks. Now, I can't form a coherent thought. I know I've had this conversation so many times in the past 24 hours that
Yeah.
I'm kind of running low on steam repeating it, but I posted it on the message boards and we've had it in the chat room and now, but I mean I really think it bears taking a close hard look at because every counter can be countered. That's the big thing is that my everybody keeps talking about, well, I could blow up your ship, or I could come and do an interrupt, or whatever. And why is this not as bad as Cytherians or God or whatever? But this is it's one card. It costs you nothing, but one seed slot. You to get
Yeah, the
it,
problem with
you don't.
artifacts are you get it when you solve a mission, which you should be
Yeah,
doing anyway.
you don't have to devote resources to going doing anything else. I don't have to build up a fleet and enough people to staff the ship, and then I don't have to try to hunt you down wherever you are and try and corner you. When you see my fleet coming, you know I'm coming to blow you up. You can run away, you can build up your own fleet, you can hide at your outpost with your stratagemma, you can cloak your ship if you have cloaking ships, you can try to dig for your defensive cards. There are tons and tons and tons of things you can do to anticipate a battle. And you, and in the meantime, while you're chasing me, I can try to solve missions, and you're devoting those resources to not solving a mission. Time Travel Pod is one card that you put under a mission, and if you get to solve that mission, which is something you're going to try to do anyway to solve a game, then you get to make my ship disappear.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm not a fan of open because I don't like the added complexity of mission ceiling on an already complex game. But that was one of the counters to artifacts is that if you play them, there's no mission that you have that your opponent can't come and take if you're not ready for it. So it was kind of a drawback, whereas now that that's gone, there's really no reason not to play with artifacts.
Yeah. Well, in my one of the pe things that people kept mentioning in the game was like, well, why weren't you prepared for it? Like, well, first off, he was playing Bajoran. So my immediately thought was, oh, he's seeding an artifact. It's an orb. And I didn't think anything of it. But my second reflex to that is, why, okay, he seeds an artifact. Assuming I assume that that's Time Travel Pod, and I should be, according to these people, playing defensively against it, that means I have to spend my entire game tiptoeing around this event, this artifact, the potential of this art. It's like original thinker Kirk in 2E. I never know if it's there or if it's or when it's going to go off, so I have to pretend like it's going to every turn.
Sure.
I have to take, do I split my guys into three or four ships, and then now I have to move one or two missions at a time instead of spreading them out so I could ferry them back and forth. So now I've lost a turn or two going back and forth somewhere. I have to, always be very delicate. I have to maybe attempt a space mission with less people than I want to, and maybe not get past a dilemma, or maybe have worse consequences from a dilemma that I might not have had if I had attempted with more people, because I don't want to have all my people on one ship, because I don't want them to get time travel potted. It's even the possibility of it being there, even if it's not there. Maybe it is an orb, and I've spent my entire game playing ultra conservative because I don't want to get hit by a time travel pod when maybe it's not there to begin with.
I think the easy, you know, example is, look, there was a problem with Temporal Rift, and we got rid of that.
Yeah.
We probably should look at the time travel pod the same way.
I mean, and time travel pod was, Temporal Rift was only 3 turns. And Decipher said, oh, yeah, that's kind of not good. We should ref that away. This is 5 turns. And I know it's an artifact. I know artifacts are supposed to be cooler for having earned them, but, you know, particularly somebody brought up and I don't think that's as good a defense, but the fact that it's in OTF, you batch seed with self seeds last means that, you know, I can't put my whatever my quote unquote best dilemma combo is where you're putting your self seed. I still don't think that's a proper defense against it. You know, even if there is a dead end or something that's going to stop you for a while, then even when you get it, it's the end of the turn. I mean, the argument I basically closed with in the chat room today was, in every game of every report of every tournament that has seen this card in play, in all the regionals and all the reports that I looked up over the last years, this year's tournaments, both the person it was played on and the person who played it agree that the time travel pod made the difference in the game. When that hit the table, the game was over. So even if we both play with it, even if we both play with counters to it, that card is reducing the game to whoever solves the first mission wins the game.
Sure.
So that is why I kind of launched my crusade, because I mean, it's not we have talked about, you know, the quote unquote broken cards and rage quits and so forth of single cards before, and I really like to not be that person who is, oh, I had one bad experience with one card and that beat me, and so now I am in a rage crusade against that card. But going and doing all the research and looking at all the data that is out there of all the experiences that have been had and everybody who's actually played with it, I'm fine with all the theoretical data of people talking about, well, what if you do this? Well, what if you do that? Everybody who's actually had a game with it in a tournament this year is like, yeah, that card needs to be banned.
Yeah, I seem to recall, might have been TK, the first person who brought it around last year. That was pretty rough. Wasn't very happy.
Yeah, he faced it in, like he does. He gets hit with a new trick and then immediately assimilates it into his deck. He got hit with it, shut down with it at Worlds last year.
Ah.
And then brought it to a tournament with not one, but two in his deck.
Oh, yeah, we got to make sure you get it.
Exactly. So, you know, you cancel one, then he goes and solves the other. You know, if you get it, you don't want you to rebuild. You got to be able to shut down your other ship, too.
Awesome. Well, yeah. we've got our regional in 2 weeks. 2 weeks?
Yes.
Is it two?
Well,
two
I mean, when this comes out, it'll be a little more than a week.
Yeah. Hey, what are your odds on something that will have been done by then?
Well, I've gone to by Arby's and I've unbolted all of the tables. So if anybody drops that on me, I'm going to flip the table on them.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh, I'm season six.
That's my counter.
Toss the counter?
Yep. So, you know.
Well, if you see me see 3 under my planet missions and a cryosatellite and 3 more under my space missions, you'll know I want to see a table flipped. You'll also know that you could probably solve your missions because I just gave up 9 dilemma slots.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know. I am not going to, I play this game to have fun, and I'm not going to have fun with that card in it. And the way it's going, I mean, even the guy who played it on me at the tournament was like, you know, you could hear it in his voice. He was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna kind of play this on you." And I'm like, you know, I'm not gonna pretend I'm not disappointed that you're playing this card. You know, it's a very, you know, I'm not gonna go and say broken because I think the term is overused and means different things to different people. But it is a super, super cheese card and a definite MPE. I win or lose, I would not play that to end a game like that. It's just broken. And if that's gonna creep its way, we have a pretty relaxed meta by and large, and I like to
Sure,
think that
yeah.
people don't want to drop that kind of thing on me on the game, but the game is over if that hits the table at our regional. I just won't tolerate it.
All very good. If you have comments, you can certainly add them. It was up to 4 pages when we recorded this, and oh, it looked like it was about to tip into a fifth. I'm sure some folks will be looking at it. I know from the design side, we've certainly posted a few ideas of what we would do about it, but that would just be a magic bullet, and nobody wants that. So we'll see how it
Yeah,
goes.
I'm kind of curious. One of the things that I came up in the chat room today was, well, how would you fix it? How would you fix it? Well, we need to know how to fix it before we can ban it. And I'm like, since when has that been the rule? You know, there's a whole list of cards that are gone and have gone away before they were fixed. I mean, it's obviously a
Sure.
problem. I think it can go away before it has a fix, but I agree that it would be nice to have a way to fix it.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Go
I
on
wanted
in.
to I think I wanted to download Rasmussen from anywhere onto your ship. You just say, yeah, I'll take care of the time robot for you.
And I thought about throwing him in as a counter, and I was like, well, it doesn't really matter if you don't play it on the ship he's on.
Yeah. If you're running a single ship strategy, that's a no-brainer. But even then, man, he's a card play.
Yeah.
He doesn't play for free anywhere. That makes it rough.
Yeah. And there's no way to go get him. You know, I was sitting here going, well, I can commandeer Taric or Impok Nor and make it non-aligned. And then I can download to my promenade shops Anige and Berlinger of Rasmussen and just pray.
I'm trying to remember the name of the non-aligned person who that rhymes with Impok or Taric, and I can't do it.
Ferrick, Dr.
Ferric Nor, yes. Very good.
Ferrick.
All right. Well, yeah. So if you've got an opinion, post it, the more the merrier. If you've got some results that you want rules to look at, post that too, because that'll be helpful. There's a lot of that already, so we'll see what happens. Anything else before we wrap?
I'm restraining myself
Okay, well
from
then,
going on and on about it.
yeah, we've got a 2E tournament with a fellow from another country this Saturday. Are you ready?
I am. I have a 2E deck built. We have a 2E deck on or a 2E tournament on Wednesday too, so I'm trying to decide
Oh, nice.
which one I want to play there and which one I want to play on Saturday. I've had an idea for a deck that I wanted to play for a while, and I've actually had it built, which is nice in advance in my advanced preparations. But it feels like every time I do that, you know, that I don't build my deck right before I play it, I forget how to play it. I'm like, wait, what
Yeah.
was this? What did I put this in here
Yeah,
for? What am I doing? So maybe I should play that Wednesday and hope I remember how to play it, and then build a new deck for Saturday.
well, if things go as they have in the past, I will be running the event and not playing in it, but because I'm going to be watching chasing the little girl around the house at the same time, but I will have something prepared just in case.
I'm sure you can do that and play at the same time. I'm sure we can make some
Yeah, every time I
alliances.
say that, and then something happens, and I've got to leave a game, and I feel bad, and I might as well just concede. So, we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, that's our intelligence for this week. If you have something to chip in, as Dan said, you can go to the message boards and find the big red rage post. In the meantime, we'll give our shout out to Warp 11 and our agents for digging out this spoiler for this week, and look forward to more Project Iron spoilers in the future. In the meantime, I'm Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I'll play 144 time travel pods then.
You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect.